Ryan Seacrest here. So every great barbecue takes a little patience. And while the food does its thing, you can enjoy a little Chumba Casino. The perfect recipe. Chumba Casino. Always good to have you back.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. See T's and C's. 21 plus. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.
Stop the podcast.
Stop the podcast.
Hi, everybody. Just to let you know, this episode of Fish is sponsored by TV licensing.
Yes, TV licensing. What are you watching on TV, Andy?
I have been watching a show that's called 2 Weeks in August.
Okay.
Despite it being July at the time of recording.
Oh, you don't have to watch TV shows in the time that their name references.
No, absolutely. I watched The Darling Buds of May in winter. Anyway, 2 Weeks in August. It's a really good series. It's set on a lovely Mediterranean holiday.
Ooh.
And it's a group of old mates from uni who've gathered together. Some of them have got kids. Some of them haven't. Some of them have been going through big life events. And it's one of those amazing pressure cooker series where things just get more and more and more tense.
Oh, those stressful ones.
I love it. I love it.
I love my comedy, I gotta say. So I've been watching Android, which is Diane Morgan's new thing, and I absolutely love it. But I just, for me, I always, on television, watch everything with someone from Bolton in it. That's basically all I watch.
And she's from Bolton.
She's from Bolton.
But in this show, I believe she's a robot.
She's a robot, and it is not certain where in the country she's from.
It depends where the facility is that makes her, I suppose.
I guess so. But what are we actually here to say?
Oh, we're here to say that if you want to watch any of these shows, your TV license covers you to watch over 400 TV channels and everything on BBC iPlayer.
That is incredible.
So 2 Weeks in August has finished going out now, but you can get hold of it on the iPlayer.
If you want to find out more about this, then go to tvl.co.uk/pod.
Now back to the tension and the stress and the misery of this episode of Fish.
Oh, I thought you were referencing Bolton. On with the podcast.
Second hour on your Tuesday morning. Next man up, 102.5. The Game, Jake Lyman, Nick Frazier, Parker Kelly. With you broadcasting live from the Busy Bee Plumbing, Heating, and Air Conditioning Game Nashville Studios, home of the $99 yearly Beehive membership, where the buzz is always about great service. The draft is almost here. Free agency, at least for the most part, in the books. There's still some players out there. But we have a good idea of what the draft is going to look like at this point, and it's time for Next Man Up Mock Draft 1.0. We're going to go through the first round and see where things end up. Who do the Titans take it for? Who ends up left on the board at the end who the Titans could end up taking at 35? We're going to go all 32 picks. We're going to randomize the order here. I already did it. Parker's going to pick first. Nick is second. I am third. So that means Parker is going to get the easy pick at the top, Fernando Mendoza. He's also going to get the Titans pick.
Oh,
so we will see. I have this pulled up. I've got the simulator, so we're going to be able to keep track of this. We'll put this out on social media and get people's thoughts. So if you have any thoughts as well, you can text or call 615-737-1025, our phone and text line driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. All right, let's kick this off. All right, the Las Vegas Raiders are now on the clock with the first overall pick. Parker, the floor is yours.
Man, you just gave me the easiest one. You just threw me a noop, Jake.
Yep.
The draft starts at 2. We all know that.
Yep.
The Raiders are going to go Fernando Mendoza
at
1.
Fernando Mendoza, quarterback from Indiana, off the board at number 1. Nick Frazier, who are you taking it to?
Oh, boy. At 2, I think we'll go with Reuben Bain.
Wow.
Oh, no, I'm sorry. That's the Jets are 3. Excuse me.
Jets
right?
are 2.
2. Okay, yeah. Reuben Bain. Yes, thank you.
Okay.
Thank you. Yeah.
Reuben Bain off the board at number 2.
Yep.
I'm not sure that he's going to go that high, but the Jets, they get a pass rusher, which is what they need. Man, this is tough for the Cardinals because they need a lot. They do need pass rush help. They could probably use offensive line help too. I think the best player on the board with the 3rd pick, the Arizona Cardinals select David Bailey, edge, Texas Tech.
Wow.
So Fernando Mendoza, Reuben Bain, David Bailey off the board, 1, 2, 3, which leaves Parker Kelly on the clock with the Tennessee Titans at 4.
With the 4th pick in the 2026 NFL draft, the Tennessee Titans select Jeremiah Love.
I thought that was where
back
it was going.
Notre Dame.
All right. Jeremiah Love is the Titans pick at 4. I did see yesterday that that is where the betting odds are leaning now.
Really?
Not that that's everything, because if you remember back to that 2023 draft with C.J. Stroud, all the betting odds shifted like 3 hours before the draft that the Titans were coming up and getting C.J. Stroud, and then it didn't happen, and the Texans took him. So, you know, take it with a grain of salt. But that is what Vegas is projecting right now, is that the Titans take Jeremiah Love at 4. Here in Next Man Up's Mock Draft 1.0, Jeremiah Love is the pick. And before we move on, I think in that scenario, it's between Love and Reese. Like, yeah, those are the two guys you're looking at. I didn't know which way Parker was going to go. I kind of thought Love. But Arvell Reese still being on the board at number 5 is very interesting.
Hey, there's an opportunity for somebody to grab him.
All right, you're on the clock with the New York Giants.
Oh, boy. New York Giants.
They just took Abdul Carter last year.
Yeah, this is going to be a tough one because I mean, boy, there's a lot to choose from here. I know this is not great radio, but as I look through all these prospects, I'm going to do it.
Do it.
Carnell Tate.
Carnell Tate goes number 5. They pair Carnell Tate with Malik Nabers, an Ohio State wide receiver and LSU wide receiver. Usually can't go wrong there.
I know, right?
All right. So top 5 are off the board. Fernando Mendoza 1 to the Raiders. Reuben Bain 2nd to the New York Jets. David Bailey goes 3rd to the Cardinals. Jeremiah Love 4th to the Titans. Carnell Tate 5th to the Giants. And the Cleveland Browns step to the clock, step to the podium, I should say.
Yeah, it works.
And they take the best player on the board, who somehow slips to them at 6, Arvell Reese. You are staying in Ohio. You're a Cleveland Brown.
Bless his heart.
I'm sure he's thrilled.
I think the Browns have to be thrilled, right? Like that. I don't know if they necessarily need Arvell Reese. Like, you've got Myles Garrett, but, like, you put him on the other side from Myles Garrett, I think you feel really good about your pass rush there.
Yeah. For the time being, yes, and then that's a successor.
Right, and I think for the Browns, you probably didn't expect Arvell Reese to get to you at 6. So, in this scenario, in Next Man Up's Mock Draft 1.0, Arvell Reese is a Cleveland Brown, which brings the Washington Commanders onto the clock. Parker Kelly, who do they take?
DC's team? Somehow, Jake, and you know if this happens, I'm going to pitch a little bit of a fit here. The Washington Commanders select Caleb Downs, safety, Ohio State.
That's a good pick. That's a good pick. Caleb Downs might be the best player in this draft.
Yeah.
Like, he is in that conversation. And I think for the Commanders, we've had this conversation before about a possible trade-up. They're looking for a missing piece. If Jaden Daniels stays healthy, they have talent around him at some of the other spots. They brought in some of the Titans' weapons. It was officially announced today they've signed Van Jefferson, too. But I think you're missing a playmaker on the defensive side of the ball. I like Caleb Downs there for Washington.
I mean, it fits what they need. They, like you just mentioned, they have some holes to fill, and that's one of them for sure.
All right. The New Orleans Saints on the clock at number 8. Nick Frazier, who you got?
The New Orleans Saints select wide receiver out of USC, Mekhi Lemon.
Wow. Yeah. All right. Mekhi Lemon goes 8 to the New Orleans Saints.
Because the Giants messed up the Carnell Tate sweepstakes, the Saints need a wide receiver. Mekhi Lemon's on the board for them.
So the second wide receiver is off the board. Brings us to our top 8. Fernando Mendoza, 1 to the Raiders. Reuben Bain to the Jets at number 2. David Bailey, 3 to the Cardinals. Jeremiah Love is the Titans pick at number 4. Carnell Tate, 5 to the Giants. Arvell Reese, 6 to the Browns. Caleb Downs to the Commanders. And Mekhi Lemon to the Saints. The draft never goes the way you expect it to go, so I'm glad this is a little different from some of the consensus stuff where maybe Bain isn't picked as high as that. And Arvell Reese goes higher. Mekhi Lemon maybe doesn't go as high as 8. Like, I'm glad we're mixing this up a little bit, and it's going to lead to some interesting picks later on in the round. Right now, best players available, according to the Pro Football Network, Sonny Styles, off-ball linebacker from Ohio State, Francis Mauinoa, the offensive tackle from Miami, Jordan Tyson, the wide receiver from Arizona State. We are doing our next man up mock draft number one. We are going to go through the next eight picks on the other side. Who do the Chiefs take to put with Patrick Mahomes? Is it on the offensive side or the defensive side? I'll let you know when we come back. Jake Lyman, Nick Frazier, Parker Kelly, next man up here on 102.5 The Game. Next man up, 102.5 The Game. Jake Lyman, Nick Frazier, Parker Kelly. We are going through our mock draft 1.0, alternating picks here, and seeing what we end up with for the first round of the NFL draft. But we do have some breaking news that may change how the rest of this mock draft goes. The Denver Broncos are trading for Dolphins wide receiver Jalen Waddle. Denver is receiving Waddle and the Dolphins' fourth-round pick. Miami gets the Broncos' first-round pick, 30th overall, along with a third and a fourth. So Miami trades Waddle away, gets a first, moves down in the fourth, and picks up a third. That is a big deal, Denver adding another wide receiver for Bo Nix.
I mean, their slot is now officially solidified. Like, you have Cortland Sutton along with Jalen Waddle. This is the 1-2 punch is what Denver wanted. And, again, this is a, I'd say, a go-for-it move.
You've got the defense, right, with Bonito and Surtain and who's the other corner? Riley Moss on the other side. They've got so much talent on the defensive side of the ball, and we saw it last year. Even with Jarrett Stidham playing quarterback, they nearly went to the Super Bowl. So it's going to that makes the AFC West just a complete gauntlet. Chargers are expected to be better this year. Broncos should be good again this year, and you'd expect the Chiefs to bounce back. Man, big move. Again, breaking news: Jalen Waddle has been traded from the Miami Dolphins to the Denver Broncos. And now we have to adjust our mock draft a little bit. Luckily, we didn't get to the Dolphins pick. So Nick Frazier, who has Miami's pick, will be able to adjust there. And we will adjust for Denver, who is now no longer picking 30th. Speaking of the Kansas City Chiefs, trying to keep up with Denver and LA in the AFC West, they're going to get somebody who can maybe slow down Jalen Waddle and the wide receivers in that division. After losing two cornerbacks, trading Trent McDuffie, losing Jalen Watson in free agency, they're going to take Mansoor Delane, cornerback out of LSU with the 9th overall pick.
Okay, not too shabby there. All right.
So I guess that does make sense. They did lose both of their corners this year.
Guess who their number one cornerback is right now?
Christian Fulton.
Christian Fulton is the number one cornerback for the Kansas City Chiefs. So I feel like that kind of has to be the pick. Again, if you just tuned in, we are going through all 32 first-round picks. So far, some notable picks. Reuben Bain goes 2 to the Jets. Jeremiah Love, 4 to the Titans. Arvell Reese falls to 6 for the Browns. And now Mansoor Delane is the pick at number 9. Parker is on the clock with the Bengals at 10.
The Bengals need a lot right here. But I figure they need a lot of help on their defense because that has been the primary issue that's been prohibiting them from getting to the playoffs. Sonny Styles is on the board, and yes, I just have a hard time believing that he's going to fall out of the top 10. So with the 10th pick, the Cincinnati Bengals select Sonny Styles, linebacker, Ohio State.
Styles and Reese both staying in the state of Ohio. Sonny Styles to the Bengals. I think that's a great pick. If he falls to 10, I think you run the card in if you're Cincinnati. So Styles goes 10, rounding out the first 10 picks there. Mendoza, Bain, Bailey, Love, Tate, Reese, Downs, Lemon, Delane, and Styles off the board. The Dolphins just traded away another one of their wide receivers. As Matthew in Nashville just texted, who is Willis going to throw the ball to now? The Dolphins have no wide receivers. Nick Frazier, are you changing that?
No, I am keeping it with the wide receivers, so we're good. Yeah, no cornerbacks going off the board at all. With the wonderful pick for the Miami Dolphins at number 11, the Miami Dolphins select Jordan Tyson
out
of Arizona State.
I like it. Jordan Tyson is one of those players that could be a top five guy if the injuries weren't a concern. For the Dolphins, I think it's worth the risk at number 11. Mm-hmm. They take him there, and after losing Tyreek Hill, losing Jalen Waddle, losing Nick Westbrook-Ikhine, they bring in Jordan Tyson at number 11. Let's go to number 12. The Dallas Cowboys are on the clock, and this is an interesting one. Cowboys, they need a lot, but they're pretty set at the skill positions. I'm between a couple of players here for Dallas. I think they would have loved to trade up and go get one of those elite guys like Stiles or Downs or Love. I think they could use some help on the offensive line. We still have not had an offensive lineman go in this draft, so I am going to have the Cowboys take the best one on the board. Francis Maui-Noah, the tackle from Miami, goes to the Dallas Cowboys.
It's a safe pick. They need the safe picks right now.
I don't know if tackle is their biggest need, but they're definitely not solidified there with Terrence Steele at right tackle. I think Maui-Noah, it's a guy who's the best player on the board, and I think that that's a good pick for them.
Yeah, I mean, the Cowboys need a little extra offensive line help with Dak. You're reloading a little bit, see what you have with Pickens and Lamb. Why not?
The LA Rams on the clock with just their third first-round pick in the last 10 years. Parker Kelly, who do you have the Rams taking?
So some of their biggest needs are wide receiver and linebacker. Problem is, the next best wide receiver on the board is Omar Cooper, who you can get in the second round. And a linebacker, you're not taking a linebacker with the 13th overall pick. With that being said, there is still a really good offensive tackle on the board from Utah. With the 13th pick, the LA Rams select Caleb Lomu, offensive tackle, Utah.
All right. It is funny how Lomu has he's jumped his teammate, Fano. I'd seen little rumblings about that, but I kind of thought that they would end up taking Fano. I think Fano profiles more as a guard, so they end up going with Lomu. All right, the Baltimore Ravens on the clock at number 14 for you, Nick Frazier.
Baltimore Ravens getting rid of John Harbaugh. No Isaiah Likely. Probably don't want to go tight end in the first round. I mean, there are a few names out there you might want to go with. Oh, boy. This is a tough one. I'm looking here, trying to look at the draft board. I mean, we could go defensive lineman, but I feel like it's just a little bit of a stretch.
They held on to this pick by not trading for Max Crosby.
Yeah,
they bring in Trey Hendrickson.
Yeah, I think we got to go with another edge rusher. I think we go with Kendrick Falk.
Okay, Kendrick Falk from Auburn.
Yeah.
That's a good pick, and they did say, don't know if Eric DaCosta was being truthful, but they did say that Trey Hendrickson and Max Crosby could have played together. You bring in a guy who can play on the other side from Trey Hendrickson. All right, with the 15th pick, the Tampa Bay Buccaneers are on the clock. I think they would have really liked to go with Keldrick Falk there, but don't get the opportunity to. I'm debating a complete shocker here.
Oh, please.
You know what? This happens on draft night a lot. We're going to go complete shocker here.
Make the phone call, Jake.
The Tampa Bay Buccaneers at 15th overall select Ty Simpson, quarterback, Alabama.
Oh, man. Oh, that says Tampa Bay. What's going on with Baker?
Baker Mayfield really struggled after an unbelievable start to the season. God. They fell out of playoff contention.
He was going to be my next pick, Jake.
Wow.
What am I going to do now?
That's why they do it. That's why you do it. We've seen this before. The Falcons a couple years ago, they had Kirk Cousins. They had just signed Kirk Cousins to an extension. They end up deciding to take Michael Penix. Wow. Baker Mayfield is a free agent after this year. This is the last year on his deal.
Yep.
I think the Buccaneers are looking towards the future. They're sitting there at 15. They see a quarterback. The Jets are picking next. They take Ty Simpson 15th overall.
Man, you're gutting the Jets down to the studs, man. Holy
Jets
cow. Fan,
Jets fans are throwing stuff at their TV right now if this is how
oh, they
plays
are
out.
Not happy. I'm actually getting texts from them as we speak. Just kidding.
Ty Simpson, 15th to the Bucks. Jets are on the clock, and they're scrambling up there in East Rutherford.
Man, because they had Ty Simpson ready to go. All right, since the Jets are in scramble mode, let's think what Aaron Glenn likes here and what they need help with, and that's the defense. They didn't have a single interception last year in the 2025 season. There's a corner on the board by the name of Jermaine McCoy, and in fact, that's the next pick. The New York Jets select Jermaine McCoy.
I like it.
With the 16th overall pick.
Yeah, Jets, you trade away Sauce Gardner last year. Jermod McCoy, as we just talked about with Jordan Tyson, a guy who could have been top 10, maybe closer to top 5 if it weren't for the injuries. Jets take a chance there and take Jermod McCoy. Nick Frazier, you're on the clock with the Lions at 17.
All right. You know, this doesn't apply to the Tennessee Titans for offensive tackles, but the Detroit Lions need an offensive tackle. We're going with Caden Proctor out of Alabama.
Oh, wow. Okay, Caden Proctor goes 17th. I have a feeling this is kind of like you remember the Justin Jefferson thing with the Vikings?
Yeah, Jalen Reagor.
With Jalen Reagor?
Yeah.
They might be running up there to take Monroe Freeling out of Georgia.
We know Dan Campbell loves those athletic offensive tackles.
Yeah, I'm going to go.
Dan Skipper, throw him a touchdown pass. You can throw a screen to Caden Proctor.
Yeah.
That's true.
Yeah. Proctor goes 17 to the Lions. And, you know, the more I think about it, I thought they were going to go Freeling. I'm changing my mind a little bit here. No, I'm going to do it. I'm going to do it. Monroe Freeling, the offensive tackle from Georgia, is going to play right tackle for the Minnesota Vikings.
Wow.
On the other side from Christian Darrisaw. So okay. Back-to-back tackles here at 17 and 18. You were on the clock at 19 with the Carolina Panthers, Parker Kelly.
The Carolina Panthers need help in the back end of their secondary. Dylan Thienemann, safety from Oregon. This guy is legit.
Yep, that's a good pick. He blew up at the combine, too. The Cowboys are back on the clock at 20. Nick Frazier, you have their pick. I took Francis Maui-Noua for them, the tackle out of Miami, at 12. Who do you have them taking here at 20?
Might be a bit of a stretch. I'm going to go with cornerback at LSU, Mansoor Delane.
Delane went at 9.
Oh, I must have missed that. Sorry, yeah. My bad.
Delane went at 9 to the Chiefs.
You got drafted twice.
Golly. It's tough to keep up with John Howard in front of me.
I wish I could, like, share this with you.
That's okay. But, you're good.
If you're going cornerback, Avion Terrell from Clemson is still out there. A.J. Terrell's.
Spencer Fano.
Yeah. Well, they just took a tackle.
That's right.
Man, that is tough. Let's see here. Oh, boy. This is great radio. Sorry, folks. Trying to really scramble
here. You got thrown off because you thought you had Delane slipping all the way to 20.
This is trench warfare here because we have the Bucks taking Ty Simpson at 15. It's thrown everything off.
Yep.
You said Avion Terrell is available.
Avion Terrell is available.
I will go with the best on the board.
All right. Cowboys take a cornerback. Probably much needed. Mm-hmm. The Trayvon Diggs tenure is over. He has moved on. And Avion Terrell comes in from Clemson. We are through 20 picks on our first mock draft. We got a little crazy there. Ty Simpson going 15th to the Bucks. Little off the wall, but it happens. It does. These teams, they love a quarterback. And for the Bucks, you may look and say, hey, we think we're going to be competitive next year. We're not going to have a chance to be in the top 5 where a bunch of teams are going to need a quarterback in 2027. Simpson falls to 15. I don't hate it. But
honest question before we go to the break real quick. What message does that send to Tampa Bay fans? Does that mean Todd Bowles is out along with Baker after this year and they just start fresh?
Maybe. But I think the message is, hey, we're not okay with mediocrity. And we're going to try and get somebody in here who can learn under Baker Mayfield and be our franchise quarterback. I don't see Baker Mayfield getting another contract in Tampa after this year, unless he just blows up this season. I think they need to look for a succession plan, and with Ty Simpson on the board at 15, they find it. The Steelers may have been looking for a quarterback at 21. Not going to be able to find one. I don't think they're taking Drew Aller at 21st overall. Who will the Steelers take? We will let you know next and wrap up our first mock draft here on Next Man Up. Jake Lyman, Parker Kelly, Nick Frazier with you here on 1025 The Game. Today, Vanderbilt baseball hosts Indiana at Hawkins Field. First pitch is at 2 p.m. Catch all of the action on 94.9 The Fan. Coverage is presented by Gary Force Acura. Jake Lyman, Nick Frazier, Parker Kelly alongside you on your Tuesday morning. We are going through the first round of the NFL draft, making our first mock draft as a group here. A couple of notable picks so far if you're just joining us. Jets going with Reuben Bain at number 2 overall. Jeremiah Love is the Titans pick at number 4 with David Bailey going 3 to the Cardinals. Arvell Reese falls to 6 to the Browns. Sonny Styles 10 to the Bengals. Ty Simpson goes 15 to the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. Shocking Jets fans, shocking the Jets front office. And we are now at number 21, where I have the pick for the Pittsburgh Steelers. Matthew in Nashville helping us out a little bit here, saying that they need a
cornerback, a safety, a left tackle, and a guard. He says if Colton Hood is there, he's taking him. I'm not going to go with Colton Hood. I think Spencer Fano has fallen down the board a little bit. He could be a tackle. He could be a guard. Either way, I think he helps the Steelers' offensive line. Spencer Fano is the pick for the Steelers at number 21.
Pretty good. I like that pick. It helps them rebuild that interior.
Chargers are on the clock at number 22, Parker Kelly.
So there's a guy that I'm tempted to take, but the Chargers already have an up-and-coming tight end in Aronde Gadsden.
Yep. Mm.
They need help on the edge. They need help in their interior offensive line. A guy, ironically, who's the number 22 prospect on the board, and the Chargers have the 22nd overall pick. Ola Iwuanye, guard, Penn State.
I almost went with him for the Steelers, too, just keeping the Pennsylvania guys close. Yeah. But that's a good pick. As we know, Jim Harbaugh loves the offensive line, and he adds another piece there. At number 23, the Philadelphia Eagles are on the clock, Nick Frazier.
Yes, the Philadelphia Eagles are going with center out of Florida, Jake Slaughter.
Wow.
Yeah.
Going way down the board.
Yeah. Yeah, he's 11th overall at his position, so just thought that might be.
Yeah, I mean, he's the top center. Let me see if I can find him. There he is. Jake Slaughter goes 23 to the Philadelphia Eagles.
And the logic behind that pick, just for a brief second, is because they're probably not going to have A.J. Brown by the start of the season. You only got Devontae Smith. You re-signed Dallas Goedert to another deal. You're keeping that interior core there. You're going to keep the tush push alive and well.
Yeah, and they need a center. I don't know if he's a first-round guy, but if the Eagles look and they say that that's the guy that solidifies their offensive line, then go ahead and do it. We got to run on offensive linemen here, three in a row. For the Cleveland Browns, I thought about going with Kenyon Sadiq here because David Njoku's leaving. But Harold Fannin also had a really solid rookie year. Yeah. I think they're going to avoid that. I am actually going to go wide receiver here for the Cleveland Browns. I believe the Browns are going to take Denzel Boston, wide receiver out of Washington.
That's a good pickup.
So Browns add a pass rusher in Arvell Reese. They add a pass catcher in Denzel Boston from Washington at 24. The Chicago Bears are on the clock, Parker Kelly.
Yeah, guys, I'm shook right now. We have Jake Slaughter going in the first round. We have Ty Simpson going at 15 to the Bucks. I don't even know what to do, honestly.
Draft
we're
chaos.
All over the place here.
I like that I'm picking for the Bears right here because they need some defensive line help. Akeem Mesidor, edge, okay. Miami.
That's a good pick. They were in on the conversation for Max Crosby. Obviously did not end up trading for him. Akeem Mesidor, the age is a question. I don't think it will affect his production. Right. It'll affect the longevity of his career for sure. He's an older player, but I think that's a good pick for the Bears, who I think are starting to get into a win now kind of mode. Speaking of win now, the Buffalo Bills trying to finally get to a Super Bowl. What do they add for Josh Allen and company?
They need more offensive firepower, and with this pick, the Buffalo Bills select out of Texas A&M wide receiver KC Concepcion.
I like that. Josh Allen has been really good with a solid slot receiver. We saw Cole Beasley was huge for him back 5 years ago or so. So KC Concepcion is the pick for the Bills. Rounding out a solid receiving core there with DJ Moore in the fold, KC. Yeah. All right, the 49ers are on the clock. 49ers, this is an interesting one because they are one of those teams that's in win-now mode. They've got a lot of aging guys. Do you build for now or do you build for the future in this? Like, do you go try and get something that you're missing right now that can help you win a Super Bowl? Or do you kind of look behind the guys you have already? I'm going to get them. They just signed Mike Evans. Man, this is tough. Because I kind of want to go tight end here with Kittle getting older, getting up there.
They have Jake Tongas. Remember that guy.
That's true. They did bring back Tongas. All right. We are going to go. Man. We're going to go with a tackle here. We're going to have a succession plan for Trent Williams, whether he's there this year or if he's gone. Blake Miller, offensive tackle, Clemson. going to the San Francisco 49ers.
Nice.
All right, we got five picks left. Parker, you are on the clock with the Houston Texans.
This guy is still on the board, and to just bolster a Texans defense that might have been one of the best in the league last year, Peter Woods, defensive tackle Clemson, goes to the Houston Texans at pick 28.
Love it. They just lost Tim Settle in the offseason to the Commanders. Peter Woods, first-round pick out of Clemson, goes 28th. The Kansas City Chiefs, back on the clock. Already got Mansoor Delane at 9. At number 29, who do they got? Nick Frazier.
It's a tough call because you already kind of checked off the box at, you know, your wide receiver room there. You could either go edge rusher or you could go for another wide receiver. Kansas City Chiefs are definitely in a bit of a quandary here. And as I say that from firsthand, yeah, I'm all up in shambles. But I'm going to go with it. And I'm going to stick with it. I'm going to go Omar Cooper Jr.
All right. They probably add another weapon.
More of a second round guy, but later
I think
in the first round.
He's borderline first round. Yeah. And so you get a cornerback at 9, you get a wide receiver at 29 to help out Patrick Mahomes. I like it.
Probably
all right.
Could have went edge there, but more firepower.
Yeah, yeah. And the Broncos are no longer on the clock at 30. The Miami Dolphins are. We just learned a few minutes ago that they have made a trade, bringing in Jaylen Waddle to Denver, meaning the Dolphins pick 30th. And with the 30th pick, I think that you just go best player available here. I think you just got to go with a guy who you think, like, need really doesn't matter all that much. I think you got to find guys that are good players. So I am going to go with Colton Hood, cornerback, Tennessee. I think he's a first-round pick. All right, two picks to go. New England Patriots, Parker Kelly.
This guy should have been picked a long time ago. And it's kind of one of those things where you made the Super Bowl, you need some pass catchers.
Yeah.
This guy is a freak. I've seen him in person. He's hurdling defensive backs at 250 pounds. He can bench press a semi, and he can squat two semis. Kenyon Sadiq,
yep.
Tight end, Oregon.
Every time I came on the clock for the last, like, four rounds, I've wanted to take him but just have not quite gotten there. The Patriots have him fall into their lap at 31, which brings us to the final pick of our mock draft at 32, the Seattle Seahawks, Nick Frazier.
Seattle Seahawks, man, losing Kenneth Walker, you're probably thinking, you need to replace him with another running back. And that's where they're going to go. They're going to go with Jeremiah Love's B, and that's Jadarian Price.
Okay, so you're going two Notre Dame running backs in the first round.
Yeah.
I like it. All right, Jadarian Price. I will say, Nick Frazier has made me look down the board further.
I know. Again,
there we go.
I'm not given the best of the availabilities, but it's more of the needs at certain positions.
I am shook. I'm just shook back here.
Aren't we all? Aren't we all?
Hey, I will say, in Nick Frazier's defense, there's always surprises on draft night that no one saw coming.
Thank you.
There would be more than a couple here. Jake Slaughter going 23rd to the Eagles, I think probably the biggest one. But there is our first mock draft. We'll do this again probably week before the draft, and we will go through and see how much things change. But our first mock draft is in the books. I'll put this up there on social media. Jeremiah Love is the pick for the Titans at 4, with David Bailey off the board at 3. Couple of other surprising notes from our mock draft. Arvell Reese goes 6 to the Browns. Sonny Styles 10 to the Bengals. Ty Simpson, the Bucks, get a succession plan for Baker Mayfield. Take him 15th. Jake Slaughter, 23rd overall, the center from Florida. And then at the end of the round, Jadarian Price, the running back from Notre Dame. Two Irish running backs go in the first round. 615-737-1025. We will take your reaction. We will also react more to the Jaylen Waddle move, talk some Titans on the other side. Wrapping up hour number two, Jake Lyman, Nick Frazier, Parker Kelly, next man up, 1025 The Game. Next man up, 102.5 The Game, Jake Lyman, Nick Frazier, Parker Kelly. Finishing up the second hour on this Tuesday morning, we just went through our first-round mock draft. Nick and I have both put that out there on Twitter, so if you want to go check it out, you can. We went through all 32 picks. There were some surprises in there, for sure. We rotated picks. This was not all done together, so we won't disclose, if you missed it, we won't disclose who picked who. There are a few in there that Might be stunners.
Hey, if you want to know who picked it, you just put down in the comments. I'll give you the picks that I put out there, all right? I'm not afraid of it.
Nick Frazier's going to stand behind his picks.
Man of my word.
While we were doing that, though, there was some breaking news. The Denver Broncos have made a trade, bringing in Jaylen Waddle, a first and a third heading back the other way, and then the two teams swapped fourth-round picks. So Jaylen Waddle goes to Denver. Have you seen the Dolphins' updated wide receiver room?
No.
So this was tweeted out by Adam Schefter. Here are the receivers currently on the Miami Dolphins roster. Tutu Atwell, Jalen Tolbert, Terrace Marshall Jr., Malik Washington, Taj Washington, Theo Weiss Jr., and A.J. Henning.
Oh, boy. They got to go after a wide receiver.
Well, you picked Jordan Tyson for us in the mock draft, so that at least would add somebody. I would guess now they have 11 and 30. I think you have to take a wide receiver with one of those picks. You just brought Malik Willis in here. Mm-hmm. Are you going to say, hey, Malik, here is your assortment of wide receivers to throw to. They're led by Malik Washington and Tutu Atwell. I think you have to go get at least somebody who can help you out in the receiving game.
You have to. And, like, you can go to free agency, like, right before the draft if you want, just see who's out there. I mean, you have Deebo Samuel. I don't know if you want to go grab a 30-year-old wide receiver that, you know, is not really a deep threat. You wonder if Nick Westbrook-Ikhine would talk to him, maybe come back. I don't know.
They just cut him. It's like I feel like if they wanted him to stick around, they would have. It's not like he was all that expensive.
Right. That's fair. I don't know. This is a difficult situation for the Miami Dolphins. Again, they've brought it all the way down to the studs. You wonder where they're going at this point. Like, I mean, yeah, you definitely have to go draft a wide receiver. And I don't know. I'm at a loss of words for Miami right now. I mean, good for Denver, because it shows that Sean Payton is there for the long haul a little bit. You know how he was with the Saints. He kind of signed Taysom Hill to this awful deal that they're still dealing with the repercussions of. And now you're in Denver and you're saying, you know what, we can do this thing. They have their 1-2 punch out wide.
The Dolphins are clearly tanking.
Mm-hmm.
I think you could say the same for the Jets. I think you could probably say the same for the Cardinals and the Browns. All four of those teams, like Malik Willis is probably the best quarterback among those four teams right now, which is saying something. Mm-hmm. So my question is, who are you tanking for? Like, is it just that you're hoping that somebody emerges at quarterback this year? Or is Arch the guy?
No, I don't think so.
Like, is that the guy that they think is going to go number one overall?
I think everybody thinks that, yeah.
There's a couple of guys that I look at and say, yeah, maybe. But there's no Caleb Williams in this, or Trevor Lawrence, where it's like, man, we've been waiting for this guy to get draft eligible, and now he finally is, and we're gonna have a bad year, but we're going to put ourselves in a position to go get this guy. And I don't see that guy unless it's Arch.
Again, like you've mentioned this multiple times in years past and also months past, like if his name was Arch Smith, would he still be up at the top part of the draft?
Yeah.
Or just being a top prospect? Probably not. And then you look at it from the other perspective of, well, Arch Manning is the reason why, in my opinion, this is me speaking, I think Arch Manning is the reason why we have reset our evaluations on quarterbacks going forward into next year's draft. Because everybody wants him to be the best of the best of quarterbacks when he's probably not there.
Yeah.
Even his grandfather said he's going to return to Texas and still continue to develop. And I don't know if he's quite there yet.
I'm looking at Dante Moore is a guy who went back to Oregon, probably going to be up there. Julian Sain will be draft eligible after next year, so maybe that's a guy teams are looking at. And then Lenore Sellers was not the guy that everyone expected him to be last year at South Carolina. Maybe he revives his draft stock. But again, looking at those names, I view it pretty much the same way as we viewed this last year's draft of like, yeah, there's a lot of guys who could separate themselves and become the number one pick. Who's going to, though? Will somebody? And right now, the Jets, Browns, Cardinals, and Dolphins are basically all saying, we are going to be horrible and just hope that there's a quarterback there for us next year.
Yeah, and you can forget the guy at Ole Miss as well. Got the sixth year.
Oh, Trinidad? Yeah.
Trinidad Chambliss. Not sure what his value will be in the NFL next season if that is the case.
But yeah.
That's somebody else you got to put into factor. So
And you could be right. Like, Trinidad Chambliss could blow up and end up having a huge year and go in the top five. I just wonder if if he would have fought so hard to go back to college if teams liked him that much. And yes, things can change, right? Like Cam Ward is an example of this where he was told by his agent was told, hey, you're probably a third round pick if you come out in 2024. He went back to school. He had a great year. He was a Heisman finalist. And he goes number one overall. So maybe that's what it is. They told Trinidad, hey, you're a third or a fourth round pick right now. If you go back and have a great year, maybe you elevate that. But I don't know. Like, he's pretty old, isn't he? Like, yeah. 23, 24? Like, I wonder if like, teams are like, hey, you're small, you're aging. Like, that's not what we want to take first overall.
The thing, it was so not confusing to me, but just polarizing, is that looking at ESPN's rankings before he got his reinstatement for that extra year of eligibility, he was the third best-ranked quarterback for this upcoming year's draft,
yeah,
according to ESPN's, you know, power rankings. But again, this year's draft is not the strongest for quarterbacks.
Well, right, and Dante Moore would have gone second overall in this year's draft, so maybe that's the guy that teams think is going to be special and going to be a number one overall pick caliber player. 7829 says Sellers got hurt pretty early last year. I think he'll be fantastic next season. And I would say out of that group, if there's somebody that you bet on just based on traits and you say he's big, he's fast, he's got an arm, and we've seen it. 2 years ago, he was really good. Sellers, I could see a team betting on. And last year, when we got halfway through the season, ESPN did their, if you were picking a quarterback first overall, who would it be? Midway through the year, it was Lenoris Sellers. Or maybe a third of the way through the year, before Fernando Mendoza kind of blew up. So maybe it is Lenoris Sellers, but those four teams, it's very obvious that they have no interest in competing next year when the starting quarterbacks for those four teams, as it stands right now, are Malik Willis. Is it Jacoby Brissett in Arizona?
Yep. Or Jimmy G, when that does come to fruition.
They got Gardner Minshew there, too, don't they? Like,
oh, that's right. I don't know what's going on in Arizona.
Yeah, I was
going
to say, like, whoever it is, it's not good. Geno Smith in New York and Shador Sanders in Cleveland. Those teams are pretty clearly not interested in winning this year. So we'll see. These quarterbacks are going to have to show that they're worthy of being those picks, or maybe you see a situation like a couple of years ago where teams reach on Michael Penix and J.J. McCarthy and Bo Nix. One of those has worked out. The other one, obviously not.
I think for the Jets' purpose, because you mentioned Geno Smith, it's crazy how the Raiders got a seventh-round pick for
Yeah.
You know, that's crazy.
They were ready to cut him.
Yeah. It's crazy that they still got that. If I were the Jets, you'd get rid of Garrett Wilson immediately. Like, you got to trade him off and get some capital for him and really reset.
And we just saw Waddle get traded. Maybe Wilson is next on the block.
What if Kansas City's that partner?
There's been rumors, and I know this is it's from the dog again, Ricky, who we talk about a lot. I don't know if I believe the dog. But the dog says the Jets are interested in trading for Will Levis. Ricky Scoops on Twitter.
Huh.
So maybe that's the pairing that they're going with, is Geno Smith and Will Levis.
No Ty Simpson. Interesting.
Well, he's going 15th to the Bucks. Right?
Oh, that's right. My bad. I totally forgot about that. Whoops. Wow. Yeah. Interesting. Will Levis. I always thought he was more of a West Coast guy.
Maybe he is. Maybe he ends up Rams, 49ers, somewhere around there.
Yeah.
I think maybe the Mac Jones domino has to fall before the Will Levis one does.
And everybody thinks he's a starting quarterback in this league somehow.
Yeah, I don't know where, but somewhere.
It's crazy.
615-737-1025 is the phone number. You can text or call our phone lines. Driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. Caleb on the YouTube chat asked, where did y'all have McCoy going? Jermaid McCoy went 16th to the New York Jets in our first mock draft. And that is out there in the Twitterverse if you want to check it out. Parker says, I am shook about our mock draft. 615-737-1025 is the phone number. When we come back, the third hour going to be kind of a mashup of everything. We'll talk some Preds. Big game tonight for the Preds up there in Winnipeg. We'll talk NSC. Big game tomorrow in Miami for the second leg of that CONCACAF Champions Cup match. And also a little bit more Titans before.
Ryan Seacrest here. So every great barbecue takes a little patience. And while the food does its thing, you can enjoy a little Chumba Casino. The perfect recipe. Chumba Casino. Always good to have you back.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. See T's and C's. 21 plus. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.
Stop the podcast.
Stop the podcast.
Hi, everybody. Just to let you know, this episode of Fish is sponsored by TV Licensing.
Yes, TV Licensing. What are you watching on TV, Andy?
I have been watching a show that's called 2 Weeks in August.
Okay.
Despite it being July at the time of recording.
Oh, you don't have to watch TV shows in the time that their name references.
No, absolutely. I watched The Darling Buds of May in winter. Anyway, 2 Weeks in August. It's a really good series. It's set on a lovely Mediterranean holiday.
Ooh.
And it's a group of old mates from uni who've gathered together. Some of them have got kids. Some of them haven't. Some of them have been going through big life events. And it's one of those amazing pressure cooker series where things just get more and more and more tense.
Oh, those stressful ones.
I love it. I love it.
I love my comedy, I gotta say. So I've been watching Android, which is Diane Morgan's new thing, and I absolutely love it. But I just, for me, I always, on television, watch everything with someone from Bolton in it. That's basically all I watch.
And she's from Bolton?
She's from Bolton.
But in this show, I believe she's a robot.
She's a robot, and it is not certain where in the country she's from.
It depends where the facility is that makes her, I suppose.
I guess so. But what are we actually here to say?
Oh, we're here to say that if you want to watch any of these shows, your TV license covers you to watch over 400 TV channels and everything on BBC iPlayer.
That is incredible.
So 2 Weeks in August has finished going out now, but you can get hold of it on the iPlayer.
If you want to find out more about this, then go to tvl.co.uk/pod.
Now back to the tension and the stress and the misery of this episode of Fish.
Oh, I thought you were referencing Bolton. On with the podcast.